QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q.
K6YNW.
K6YNW, Chris, go ahead.
Just want to mention, near the Palm Springs, I had a 60-foot tower burgled from my place. It was in three sections, 23 feet about each. Small chance it's going to be seen around, but if anyone does see something like the three sections of a tower, I'm good in QRZ. K6YNW.
Okay, Chris, good deal. We'll keep our eyes out there. Any other announcements? Please come back to KF6Q.
Comment?
Yes, go ahead, Harold.
Yeah, the guy with the tower was stolen. Go to the nearest, all of the places that buy scrap all the way around where you live. Because that's where it's headed, 86PL.
Yes, I did that for here, and I went over to Riverside. And if the guy carried it further, he's going to lose money on gas. Although one did say he probably chopped it up anyway. Yes, K6YNW.
Okay, Chris, and sorry to hear about that. Yeah, there was a lot of that stuff going on out there. Sad to hear it happening to somebody right here on the net. May everybody keep your eyes open and maybe give Chris a hand with that. Anybody else out there with any announcements? Okay, got a real quick announcement here. Keep your eyes open on your email. There is a lot of spam viruses going out right now. Seen a lot of them come through mine. Of course, this is something that happens all the time. Seems like it's really taken a surge here lately, so be careful. A lot of this stuff was from people I know. However, they never sent it. That's the way it usually goes. So, all right, anyway, enough about that. Topic for the evening, we're going to look at running. This is the second time this has been in QST. Running three different radios off the same antenna at the same time. Obviously, a tri-band antenna. And you can do this if it's done properly. So we're going to talk about that this evening. All right, we'll proceed with the brief roster here. And like I said, if I do drop out for that two-second interval, that issue still is with the repeater. Let me know. But, yeah, it'll be there until we get a chance to get up there and check this thing out. Well, first on the list, I have WB6CLZ Mike in Placentia.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on that. This is WB6CLZ in Placentia.
All right, Mike, hopefully weather is good down there. It's really turned great up here again. WB6CIN, Cindy, are you nearby?
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
All right, Cindy, glad to have you out there. Hey, we missed you at the meeting, and I got to tell you, Mike did a great demonstration on that new radio. So anyway, thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. KA6CIA, George.
Good evening, Tom and the good group, K6CIA.
Hey, and good evening, George, and hopefully the weather is treating you right down there, too, in Lucerne. How about KE6RJ? Here he is. See if he's out there. And nothing heard. KE6QI, Nancy. And nothing heard. A little thank you to Nancy again for helping us with the VE testing on a holiday weekend. Boy, I got to tell you, I don't blame anybody for not wanting to do that. Moving on down the list here, I have KJ6HZS, Mike.
Good evening, Tom and everybody. KJ6HZS, no traffic.
Okay, Mike, glad to hear you out there, and I know it's just great over there like it is here. Courtesy check-in for your dad, K6EKX, and let's check, see if WA6ITC Rod's out there.
Yeah, from Mike Williams, WA6ITC.
Okay, Rod, hold down the eastern front there. Appreciate that, so, excuse me. How about KJ6KDL Jim?
KJ6KDL here. I'm away from the house. Don't know where KDK is. Maybe we can leave a gap for her, see if she checks in.
All right, Jim. KJ6KDK, we will space there for Rosemary. Hey, don't hear her out there, Jim, but hey, thanks for being out there yourself. Appreciate that. All right, moving on down here to... You don't know if he's out there. We'll give him a call. How about WB6PBZ? Ray. Nothing heard. Probably hanging out with the construction group, the guys. How about KI6IQA? Kelly.
KI6IQA. Good evening.
Okay, good evening, Kelly. Also, Eastern Front. Thanks for being out there. K6GBL, Ron from Green Valley.
Good evening, Tom and Lynette. This is Ron from Green Valley Lake, K6GVL.
Hi, Ron. Thanks for being out there on the far western front there. Appreciate that. Let's see if we can get Ann out there. Is N6BOP, she out there listening this evening? Okay, nothing heard. How about AD6PL Harold? I heard him out there from Riverside.
Evening, AD6PL.
Okay, Harold, thanks for being out there. Appreciate that. Try to stay cool down there. How about K6LCS Clint from Harupa Valley? Or is it Ontario Valley? Or wait a minute. Hello, Clint.
In front of the beautiful Ovid Family Community Library, this is K6LCS, downtown Ontario.
Okay, Quint, glad to have you out there. Let's see here, moving on down the list to KJ6PYV, Dave, and Sherwo.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is KJ6PYV, checking in from Sherwo.
Okay, Dave, by the way, I've got you on that ECS list for the next bike ride. Let me know if that's not going to work for you. So, anyway, appreciate that. How about W6JLM, Judith?
Good evening, Tom. This is W6JLM. And, Tom, I'd like to hear a little bit from Rod about how the astronomers group or gathering went this last weekend, if he has a couple of seconds to give us an update.
Rod, you want to give us a real quick item in there for her?
Yeah, well, we had 600 people show up, and which was a little low, but the wind and cold weather, I think, caused some people not to show up. But basically pretty good, and hopefully next year it'll be better. WA6ITC.
Okay, Rod, hey, appreciate that. Yeah, I think this the going into this weekend, that just really put the dampers on a lot of stuff. I know our yard sale got crunched down to about 1.5 days. So, anyway, all right, thanks for being out there. Hey, Judith, is W6KMM nearby? Kenneth.
This is W6KMM.
All right, Ken. You need to look out there on the western front of Sugarloaf, I would call it. Appreciate you both being out there. K6YNW, Chris, one more time there.
And good evening, Tom and Annette. K6YNW.
Thanks for being out there, Chris. And like I say, we'll keep our eyes open, and good luck. W6POO, Chip, are you out there?
Hey, Tom and Annette, the evening group, just back from Idlewild, and beautiful up there. I guess similar to that of Big Bear. But anyway, back down here. 56POO clear.
Okay, Chip, hopefully you got a chance to get up there and cool off. Hopefully it wasn't Friday. You'd freeze. Anyway, all right, good to have you out there. All right, KD6LEN, Bill.
Yeah, just crawled out from under the car in time. KD6LAN, we'll be listening.
Okay, Bill, thanks for being out there. And be careful underneath that car. Okay, let's try K9AOG. Steven, are you out there? And her there. How about W6JET? Ron.
W6JET, Sugarloaf.
All right, we're glad to have you up here. Hope you're enjoying this beautiful weather. All righty, moving on down the list to AE6CK, Victor.
Yeah, good evening, Tom and the group. Victor, Santa Fe Springs.
All right, Victor, glad to have you out there this evening. How about KA6ROD, Rod? Yeah, I think he's out traveling again. How about KB6LTY, Christy? And nothing heard there on that. Pretty much wraps up most of my list here. I think I've even caught some of the other people here. Anybody who'd like to check in as a guest, please come back to KF6Q.
KJ6DZT, Tom, this is Hot Springs. Just checking in.
Yes, Pyle.
Ah, Mike, FIL. How did I miss you? No, you know what? I went to the side, never came back to the right spot. Sorry, Mike, KJ6FIL, got you here. And Desert Hot Springs, glad to have you with us this evening. Anybody else?
KG6MBH in Sugarloaf.
All right, Sugarloaf, yes. Well, you're up here with us. I'm up here at the end of Riverside, so you could be very close by. Anybody else out there like to check in as a guest?
K9AOG, you're not
up Windmaker. Ah, Steven, got you in there. Okay, appreciate that. Sorry I missed you this morning. The proverbial stuff hit the fan, got delayed, so maybe next time. Got you in here. Anybody else? All right, that pretty much has got our list, and thank you for all the guests who checked in here. Well, Michael, let's see. Before we get into Quint and then our topic, anything happening out there with all the cool stuff there on HF?
Well, contrary to the way I sound, there's always something happening. I just can't find it. Well, right now, Space Weather is reporting a sunspot number of 87 and a solar flux index of 110 solar flux units. Right now, we're looking at an MUF in Boulder, Colorado, which is about the closest we can get, of just a little bit below 26 megahertz. So, you know, conditions aren't that bad. I just tuned around on 17. And heard New Zealand, the guy at Milford Sound in New Zealand, New Mexico City. Also on 18-152, there was a pileup. I could hear the DX station they were working, but he never signed, so I just kind of, there's a nice pileup there. And really, on 10 meters in the evenings, around this time to 8, maybe even 9 o'clock, Australia, New Zealand, the Pacific has been coming in all for the last week or so. Kind of sporadic, but usually around 28-4, usually a little high up 28-4-5 to 28-5. You know, we're always hearing some DX, some trans-equatorial stuff on 10 meters. So, yeah, there's still some stuff there. You just got to pound the pavement to find it, I guess. Back over to you, Tom.
Hey, Mike, appreciate that. Yeah, anybody else out there with any other DX reports, please come back. Hey, Mike. Well, thanks so much, too, for that, all that information. I'm going to hand this over to Clint in Ontario. Clint, anything new and exciting happening out there on the HamSat front?
Good evening, K6LCS. You all heard that the SpaceX privately funded cargo ship successfully docked with the ISS last week. And let's see, day after tomorrow it'll be coming back down and splash down live on NASA TV. The schedule is all over NASA.gov. But opening indeed a new era in getting folks and equipment and supplies to and from the International Space Station. That was 9 hours of really exciting, true reality TV as that thing went up there. They had a couple problems before they got it docked, but successfully docked it and are finished unloading all the stuff that was in it. I've had a flurry of inquiries about egg beater antennas and work on the FM satellites. Egg beaters, and you know the M-squared ones are horribly expensive, but remember we're talking really weak signals from a far, far, far away, from 500 plus miles. I don't want to say they're worthless, but preamp is mandatory, and transmission, you have to bump up the power to overcome how scattered that transmitted signal is. Break for a sec. I mean, just know, with 1 or 2 watts and a handheld beam, we're working the satellites effectively. But that same setup, same 2 watts or 1 watt with an egg beater is not going to happen, neither transmit nor receive. So I'm not sure where the bug got planted. I don't know what happened. It's maybe something happened at Dayton. But, boy, if you want to work the FM satellite's voice with an egg beater, it's not going to happen. Build a modest beam. If you cannot rotate the beam, if you have restricted attic space or something, just point it about 20 degrees above the horizon in a direction where most passes will be going, either to the east or to the west of you, and you'll be working it that way. But egg beaters, omnidirectional antennas, not for 250 to 500 milliwatts can be down at you 500 miles away. Let's see, we already talked about Ham Nation episode 46. In this month's CQ magazine, my work at Ham Satellite tutorial was reprinted. Rich Arland and I collaborated on a work in the satellites article. It's all the stuff you'll find on the website, worksat.com. But that was kind of fun having it in a Dayton issue. And I got a lot of hits, a lot of inquiries last week from folks coming back from Dayton. So the FM birds we can work right now are SO50 in daylight hours and AO27 in daylight hours in North America. AO27 I worked this afternoon, strong as ever. And the ISS packet, they'll probably turn the amateur gear off tomorrow for the undocking of the SpaceX ship, but the packet will be back on for the weekend. And that's all I've got, Tom, unless there's some questions. K6LCS.
Okay, Clint. Thanks for that. Any questions out there for Clint? Okay. Yeah, I don't know if... I know the tape measure antennas, kind of cool. We talked about those a couple of times, and I'm sure they could be set up somewhat. The problem is I think they would not work with that cross dipoles. Sometimes they are cross yaggy. I think some of the elements would kind of be flipping around in the breeze too much, so that probably isn't a good one there. But I will have a lot of antenna stock for a regular Yagi, as I have about a 30-foot tape measure. It's about ready to have about around 3 feet. The tape has got a crack in it, so hey, more antenna stock for building stuff. Thanks, Clint. Appreciate that. All right, Mike, tonight we're looking at the article on QST. This would be the June issue. Also, if you're a member, this would be of ARRL. This would be the first one they actually have online, the PDF format. You do have to be a member, of course. You have to be all set up with the online access as a member. Anyway, this will be on page 54 of using HF triplexers and bandpass filters with multiple band beams. Well, Mike, real quick, have you ever tried this before? I don't think I have. I mean, it's kind of like a field day thing. So have you ever heard of anybody doing this?
Have not. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know that ARRL had test engineers hired on in their lab, but, you know, that's just me. But no, I have not. I don't think I would want to do it with my radio, but I think that there are, it's got a purpose. I mean, if you've got going out to field day and you have limited resources, you have a nice tri-band beam, this sounds like the way to go. Two different triplexers, two different manufacturers, and two different manufacturers of bandpass filters. They've run them through their paces, and let's get into it. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, first, for all of you that do not have the article in front of you, what we're talking about here is using one antenna and running two radios through it. Now, before we go there, I want to touch base on that a little bit. This would be an example, and I've been asked this by quite a few people. What happens if I have a dual bander 2 meter 440 antenna and I hook a 2 meter radio to it and a 440 radio to it? Will that work through a T connector? And the answer is absolutely not. Because what will happen when you key up one, it'll fry the receiver on the other. And you can actually fry both receivers if you time it right. So that will not work, and do not try that. You will definitely end up with a broken radio. One of them will break. However, what we're talking here is pretty much the same thing. However, we are putting a triplexer, we'll explain what that is, and bandpass filters in here so that those signals cannot feed back into the wrong radio. Let me reset. Essentially, what a triplexer is, it could be a duplexer, triplexer, probably a quadplexer if there was such a need. Basically, a duplexer is used in the aero antenna. It's built into the handle for keeping everything squared away with the two different bands. The triplexer does the same thing for three bands. Essentially, what it does is there are three different inputs to this device and one output, one going out to the antenna itself. In this case here. So what that'll do is we have, let's say, a three-element tri-band beam up there in the air, and it's good for, say, 10-meter, 15-meter, and 20-meter bands. Okay, that's fine. Now, normally, Mike, if you and I were running this from our house, we would have one radio, one antenna. We would just simply switch bands. So if I'm done 10 meters, you know, I'll send a 10-meter signal up there, and that antenna will work as a 10-meter antenna, and so on and so on for the 15 and 20. That's the normal app, right, Mike?
Well, that's the easy way. That's the way we don't have to worry about triplexers and filters and stuff. That's the easy way. But, yeah, if we're in field day and we've got a couple of extra transmitters sitting around that we want to use on the same antenna, this is what we got to do. Back to you, Tom.
Roger that. So if you're out there in field day and you're setting up something and you only have one beam, one antenna, one Yagi, and you're going to put this thing up in the tower to use three radios. And this was actually in a 2010 QST article by Gary Gordon, K6KB. This article here is not him. This is by, we got a couple guys here, K1RO and WB1GCM. The test engineers. But anyway, to do that, we have to make sure that when we feed one signal out, it doesn't feed back into one of the other radios because we're all hooked up to the same spot. Let me reset. If you're listening to this net, which if you're not, you're not even going to hear me anyway, so you got to be listening to this net if you're hearing me. Our repeater up there is basically transmitting and receiving simultaneously through the same antenna. This is what all the repeaters do. So it's got a very super sensitive receiver hooked up to the antenna. At the same time, We're pumping 35 watts thereabouts, plus or minus, out to the same antenna. So here again, why does it not fry the receiver, and how does this even work? Well, frequencies are offset a little bit. That's our offset. Second thing is we have this huge can filter up there, basically what we're talking about here tonight. A filter that actually keeps this from interfering, coming back down and swapping out, if not just utterly frying the receiver. Let me reset. So if we're going to run three transmitters at the same time, we got to remember they're going to be transmitting and or receiving, depending on whoever is on the mic, all at the same time. So we want to make sure that they don't interfere. Well, the triplexer kind of does part of this, but you cannot do this with just a triplexer. Do not try this with just a triplexer. There's also bandpass filters that also add extra protection. They maintain that all the signal going to that radio is exactly for that radio only. Therefore, if one transmitter is pumping out a 15-meter signal, and this other receiver is listening on 10 meters, well, even though it's pumping a lot of power through there, and I say power up to about 200 watts, other beyond that, you really got to rethink this whole strategy. But with that right there, we're not going to fry that receiver. Let me reset. So anyway, yes, with this equipment, using a triplexer, using bandpass filters, this can be done. That is extra cost. And if you're operating out of your house, sometimes it's just better to, or cheaper, to throw up another antenna for the other band and kind of isolate it a little bit. Well, Mike, we have about, in the first column there, couple bullets here, and maybe we'll go over these one at a time. We don't have time to really go through all the specs and results of these items, these manufacturers, but definitely want to cover this part here. So let's go over these bullets. Mike, well, the first one there is kind of like a power limitation. You want to take that.
I'm trying to figure out where we're at. Oh, okay, yeah, okay, gotcha, okay. Yeah, well, they're intended for low power operation, only up to 200 watts per band. And if you want to go higher, I guess you're going to have to use a different solution. Maybe you can't use the same antenna, or there's other ways to go. But yeah, only up to 200 watts, and probably less would be much better, the way I'm reading it. Back to you, Tom.
And this is KF6Q Tech Tuesday on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. Okay, well, yeah, though, so we had mentioned that, but that's number one. If you're going to go to more power, and this would be actually the only way you would be able to go to more power, you're going to have more filtering. Keep in mind, as you add more filtering, you're going to get more loss. There is no such thing as a lossless filter. They have low loss, but zero is not ever possible. So you're going to get a little more loss, so I'm going to balance that out. Well, the next bullet, Mike, is pretty much another thing we just talked about, and this is very, very important. The triplexer alone is not going to provide all this. Go ahead, take that.
According to the article, the triplexer does not provide enough isolation, and so that tells you that you do have to use the bandpass filters in conjunction with the triplexer to prevent receiver damage. And even on the triplexer itself, especially the Dune Star, it has a label right on it. Appropriate bandpass filters must be connected between the inputs of your transceiver, or serious damage will result. So, I mean, this is serious stuff. You don't want to blow up the front end of your receiver at all. Back to you, Tom.
Thanks, Mike. And that's pretty much it. And the bandpass filter, and we'll talk real brief here without getting too technical on filters. some of these filters or filtering required, whether it be a can filter for a repeater or whatever, we're going to throw out a number here. We're going to say 70 dB. You might have a rating of 70 dB for, say, a filter system for a repeater. Now, you got to keep in mind, we've only got like 600 kilohertz. That's like a drop in the bucket for, you know, between transmit and receive. The stuff here we're talking tonight, a whole different band, way, way separation. But with something that close on a repeater, let's just say 70 dB. And 70 dB, well, what would that be? Well, that is like a 10 with seven zeros trailing it, which would be about, what, that's, no, that's 10 million. So it's a 10 million to one rejection. That's what 70 dB is. And with that kind of rejection, yes, that will definitely keep that, drop that power down. Give you an example. Basically, if you had, not that you would, because you'd be definitely illegal. You'd be definitely way illegal. 10 million watts feeding into this. The result after that filter would be 1 watt. Now, obviously, things would fry. It's illegal and all that. That's 10 million to one. So that's what 70 dB, when they talk about 70 dB rejection, that's what that is. Well, anyway, let's move ahead. Here's another very good bullet. Mike, what's the next one on here about low SWR?
What they're saying is that you have to have a low SWR on all of the bands you're using, and we're talking about the three, the triplexer, so that would be 15, 20, and 10. A good type of antenna would be a tri-band beam, possibly a trap Yagi or possibly a trap vertical. But they're saying if it's a non-resonant antenna that requires an antenna tuner or one that changes element and length, kind of like the STEP IR, if anybody's familiar with that, it's like a trombone, the elements kind of stretch and retract as you change bands automatically. Would not work out on something like that. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, and this is for obvious reasons. Essentially, you're not going to be able to tune the thing up, and if you have this SWR coming back, it's definitely going to, what will basically happen, if I'm not mistaken, Mike, and this is one of the things we had to be very careful with our setup, with our filters at field day for the club, is because it can backfeed power through the SWR and fry the filter, so... besides many other nasty little things it does. Well, anyway, then moving on to the next bullet, we have another thing here about the triplexers and the filters. With that, Mike, you want to go ahead and explain that to the group?
They're talking about you have to have a transceiver dedicated to each band. You don't want to be switching them and between the bands. You have to have one dedicated to each band. And if you plan to do that, they say you'll have to figure out some sort of switching or else you're going to have to swap cables. Sounds like it could be pretty complicated. So it sounds like what you really need is three separate transceivers on three separate bands.
Right. So, you know... you've got to have some good reasons that that's what you want to do. Without going into all the specs and everything, they did review two brands, and I think as we're looking here in the first example, so you've got a package of triplexer filter package through one of the companies. It's $400. Now, that would be the triplexer and, the filters combined. And that's a lot of bucks. so you really got to think twice if this is really what you want to do. If you have access to a whole separate antenna that you're just simply going to throw up for field day, could be way much cheaper. So if you have the space. So anyway, yeah, so some of the triplexers, $200 each. You've got, depending on brand, up to $325 just for the triplexer. So, Mike, I would say this is not a cheap solution.
Well, I think you'd have to have a pretty wealthy club to support this, or maybe find that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow if you see one. Back to you, Tom.
Right, and we're talking about 10, 15, and 20 meters. A couple things here to talk about with that as options to this. Not that this can't be done. Obviously, it can be done. We've pointed out all the critical issues here. And the main critical issue is the dollars. Obviously very expensive. The probably lowest frequency and actually having the largest antenna, we ran a delta loop with a delta loop reflector last year, worked perfectly fine, which brings into one thing. You know, obviously we didn't have this on a tower, we didn't have it on a rotator. Well, let's say, which we didn't mention this about this expensive venture of using the tri-band Yagi, what if 10 meters is open in one direction and 20 meters is open in a different direction? We don't have that too much here on the West Coast, but what if you were in Texas? All right, so they, what do they, flip a coin and see who gets the rotator switch?
Question, Tom. Yeah, that's a very good question. Or who's got the biggest hammer, or that would be a good one.
So obviously you can't aim the same antenna in two different directions at the same time, not with any practical means, especially when it's all the same elements. So that's a huge drawback to that, whereas you have three separate antennas. I know last year we had Mickey's 10-meter Yagi, and that was self-controlled into one Armstrong method. Mike, I believe you were out there spinning that thing around, and we've done the same out there with a 6, and the 20-meter pretty much had that aimed to the northeast, good direction for where we are here in Southern California. So either way, it wouldn't be as big an issue here in Southern California, but I still say that, $20 worth of wire is a lot cheaper than $400 worth of triplexers and filters and stuff. Oh, my. Well, Mike, how was your success just using that 10-meter by itself? Just you, yourself, and no worries about anybody else transmitting back at you.
We were in field A heaven. We would just follow the sun with that thing and, just turn it the direction we had the most contact. It was kind of nice, though, because I did have three professional antenna rotators that would come and go. Chris was out there, and Mickey, who owned the beam, was out there rotating somewhat, and then Cindy would run up and rotate it for me, too. And a couple of times I took duty at rotating it. So we had plenty of antenna rotators out there. I consider them to be true professionals. Back to you, Tom.
That was KI6SKN-R or slash R for in rotator mode. Okay, gotcha. by the way, Chris, if you're listening, appreciate all your help out there last year. Anyway, good deal. So anyway, just we thought we'd touch base on this issue and really stress some of these critical points. Basically, that you have to have all this gear. There is no shortcut. You can't say, oh, you know what? I'll just get the triplexer, and we'll be good to go. We'll get the filters next year. You can't do that because you're going to break somebody's radio. So possibly if you're cranked way down to maybe 5 watts to QRP, maybe, but that's a maybe, and I would not even try that. But anyway, good deal. Just be very careful out there if you ever try to attempt this. Best thing is one radio, one antenna at a time. Anybody out there with any questions, please come back to KF6Q.
Comment, K6YW.
Yes, Chris, go ahead.
Yes, we used to help out in San Gabriel Canyon, and a guy brought his radio up, and he didn't use a duplexer. He separated the antennas. Well, on 2 meters, it was still a challenge. So we went over to 70 centimeters, and with that 5 megahertz, he was in 7th heaven, K6YW.
Yeah, roger that. And actually, what I'm running here, because I run Echolink out of here, the Echolink transceiver, computer, and everything is literally less than 10 feet away from me. But the two separate antennas, the one I'm transmitting on now, and the separate Echolink transmitter, which actually feeds into the repeater, those two antennas are basically 40 feet apart. Echolink, and I am just to mention, for those who do not know, I'm less than 2 miles line of sight from the repeater, so it doesn't take a lot of power. So the Echolink repeater Transceiver basically is running about 5 watts. So far, so good. They don't seem to interfere with each other, and we can transmit right out of here simultaneously. But, like you say, you don't have enough physical separation or frequency separation, it could definitely be an issue. Thanks, Chris. Anybody else? Any questions or thoughts? All right. Well, Mike, anything to add in closing? And thanks for helping me out again this evening. Back to you, Mike.
Just a couple of things. I think the club, as I recall, has in their possession bandpass filters, so I think that's already in the BBARC arsenal if we ever did want to do this. The downside, though, is the harmonics that a multiband or a trap or antenna on a field day can possibly generate are the downside. And the filters would take care of some of that, but I know we got some really weird things, and some really weird things can happen when you have that many transmitters, receivers together on multi-band antennas. So that's something you got to kind of watch out for anyway. Back to you, Tom.
Well, good point there. Yeah, and I think the filters we have, which another real quick mention here, all filters are not the same besides the band that they're designed for. The amount of rejection that they have, in other words, how much do they, you know, filter out, 20 dB, 30 dB, 40 dB, and so on. So the more they filter out, the more the sharpness of that, the Q quality, I should say, you're going to pay more money. So I think the ones we have are adequate to basically keep harmonics from feeding back in, which is what we needed. So, yeah, and that's why they were not quite as expensive. I forget what we paid for them. It's sitting around here somewhere. So, anyway, good point there. All right, anybody else with anything to add or questions before we close Tech Tuesday? All right, well, appreciate everybody listening in this evening. Good stuff here. Very important stuff. Always want to make sure people don't read this and get half the information from an article and try something at home. Be careful what you try at home. This is done by trained professionals sometimes. Anyway, all right, all our guests tonight, thanks for tuning in with us and listening up. We do this every Tuesday if we can, and that's generally only held back by severe weather up here where we leave it open for emergency traffic. So, all right, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, Net Control. For the Tech Tuesday Net, closing the net at 1900 hours and 43 minutes. I'd like to thank again WB6CLZ for helping with this, and K6LCS, always out there with good stuff for our AMSAT stuff. Check out his sites. He's got a couple out there. Just Google K6LCS. You'll probably come up with about 24. Anyway, thanks for listening up, and we'll see you again next week. Repeaters back to normal use. This is KF6Q.